So I wanted to just to go through the sugyas, the very strange halachas of the Shulchan Aruch about how we rely on midos, very strange idea that we rely on midos to be mevarer one's yichas. The halacha is about the cheses kashrus of a certain yid that comes and the cheses kashrus of a mishpacha. And the Gemara tells us that if there are certain midos that look strange, that are midos of achzarios, midos of the umas olam, we could have some chashash that they're not Jewish. And it doesn't seem to fit into any other areas of halacha of how one deals with chazakos versus rov and edus and sveikos. So what's unique about this area of yichas that suddenly midos become a relevant factor? Being shtika, having a midah of being silent, of being quiet, of being edel, somehow that's a simon that a person is a yid. So let's go through that sugya and see various applications. I think there's two mahalchim here to go through, and machlokas between the Rashi and the Rambam in understanding how one's mevara the cheses kashrus of a person. So we saw the Gemara in Kedushin that tells us there's already machlokas what the general status the chazak is if a person comes from a land anywhere in Chutz Laaretz, and we pass like chachamim that says that kol aratzos becheskes kashrus hein omdos, that every single the Jewish community, no matter where they live, whether in Eretz Yisrael, whether outside Eretz Yisrael, whether Bavel, somewhere else, they have a status quo being cheses kashrus. We assume that they're a Jew. I don't want to discuss the machlokas in the tour about the Adramma versus the other Rishonim. What if we don't know there was no cheses kashrus? But let's assume there's a certain family that they've been davening for, you know, in our shul for in the past 50 years. And so they have a cheses kashrus. And so that we trust them that you can marry into the family. So this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens, right here in the beginning of Siman Beis. But then we encounter this very strange Gemara that says, Kedushin Daf Ayin Alef Amud Beis, that if Ra'isa Shnei Bnei Adam, you see two people, Shemes Garin Zebezet, they're fighting with each other. So the Gemara says, Shemetz Pasul Yesh Be'echad Mehem, there must be some psul in one of them. Vein Manichin Oso Lidabek Echad Bechaver, we don't allow them to marry each other, because since there's a Midara, we could assume that one of them is not Jewish or has a certain psul, you know, mamzer, chala, whatever it might be, and therefore one should not marry into the family. So it's strange because not every Jew, unfortunately, has the best midah. So does that mean when we see a certain Jew who has a tremendous yichas, his midah ra, it means we assume he has bad yichas somewhere along the way? And is it so unfathomable that a non-Jew, he can't have good midos? So we see a non-Jew who has good midos, he must be, he has a Jewish yichas, maybe. So the Rambam tells us something very interesting. He adds in a few words here that don't appear in our Gemara. When he describes this halacha, that kol mishpachos becheskas kashus umuter lisa mehem lechachil. You can marry into any family that has this ready chazak of being a kasher family. He says, afal pikein, if you see two families that are constantly fighting, so then he says, choshishin lahen v'roi lisrachik mehem, it's worthwhile distancing yourself from them. She'elu simani paslasem. Those are words that do not appear in our Gemara and Kedushin. These are signs that they are pasul. And then he goes on to explain that if they have midos that yeshba azus panim achzarios v'sones abrios, they're cruel, they're brazen, they hate people. They ain't no gomel em chesed. So then we could assume they're givoni. Because the simanim of a yid, a simani Yisrael, ha'uma kadosha, is baishanim, rachmanim, v'gomi chasadim. Which is what the Gemara in Yevamos tells us. The Gemara says these are simanim that we have a yid has. They're baishanim, they're rachmanim, and they're gomi chasadim. But those are midos that we have. It doesn't mean that they could have any impact on halachas of chazaka. These are midos that we carry on, we pass on to our children. But does that mean it could change a chazaka? So the fact that the Rambam includes these ideas of calling them Simani Paslasim and Simani Yisrael tells us that, yeah, the Rambam holds that these midos are actually Simanim that could change a Chazaka. So how does that work? What's the mechanism? How does Simanim, because a person has a certain midah, that means it could change a Cheskas Kashrus of a person? So I think it's based on Simanim we have in general, in Kol Tor Kula. Based on the Gemara's in Bava Metzia, the Rambam Paskins, Hilchos Aveda, Hasimanim Hamuvakim, when it comes to a person who loses an Aveda, so how do we know it's his Aveda? He has to give the Simanim. There's Simanim that are Inimuvakim, that are not so clear. And then there are simanim that are muvakim, that are very clear. If the guy says, it tells you what the number is written on the back of the whatever he found, the item number, then we know it's probably his. And there are certain things that he could get the color right, which may not be a simen muvak. So the Rambam writes that simen muvakim, if they're very clear simanim, somchem aleim v'danin al piem b'chol makom din Torah. You could rely on simanim muvakim if they're clear signs that this person is the owner. You could trust him not only in the areas of Hashavas Aveda, says the Rambam, but b'chol makom din Torah. Every area of Torah, whether it's Cheskes Kashas, whether it's Choshe Mishpat Halachas, whatever it might be, you could rely on simanim when it comes to any area of Halacha. So I don't know whether or not these simanim of Paslis and simanim of Umas HaKadosh are considered simanim muvakim or simanim she'enim muvakim, but the Rambam clearly calls them simanim when he's talking about breaking a Cheskes Kashas. And so it appears to me that he's relying on this concept of simanim in how we have in throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, the simanim muvakim by Hashavas Aveda. And Rashi Weiss is a very interesting tshuva about how it works with DNA. When they're trying to prove who is the, you can't identify who a dead body is, if it's an Aguna case or if it's an issue of Yerusha. So there's a discussion whether or not or how it works that one could rely on DNA testing. DNA testing doesn't exist in Shulchan Aruch. It's not Edus. What exactly is it? So Rav Asher Weiss says it's the category of simanim. That this is a clear simen muvak, that the DNA could only be, it's 99.9% correct, that this person's DNA is the one who we can identify. And therefore, based on simanim, you could prove Yerusha, and perhaps Agun is a little bit more tricky. So here as well, I think these simanim, they're not quite DNA. They're related in terms of one's midos and their behavior. But I think that's how the Rambam's understanding the nature of midos in terms of proving or disproving a chazaka. Now, it's very appropriate for this week's parsha, of course, and the simanim of Rachel giving the simanim to Leah. And the Maral writes, actually, on that pasuk, when it says, Vahiba boker v'hinehi Leah. So it was in the morning, and Yaakov wakes up, and he finds out that it was Leah, it wasn't Rachel. So the Maral says, what do you mean, wasn't it Leah Belila as well? It was Leah the whole time. How come it was only suddenly Leah in the morning? The pasuk pshat is he only recognized that it was Leah in the morning. But the Maral writes that Vade Hachi Perusha, Hine Hileya Baboker, means Vabalaila lo Haisaleya. It wasn't Leah at nighttime. Lefisha Masala Simanim, because since Rachel gave the Simanim over to Leah, says the Maral, Vikaimalan the Simanim Daraisa, based on our Sugi Simanim Muvakim are Daraisa. So therefore it's a Simon Muvak. Lefikach Balaila, even though she was biologically, physically, she was Leah. You can rely on the simanim, linendina, even though she was really Leah, but the simon told us, even though it could be wrong, it could be when halacha goes against the reality, goes against the truth, that's what halacha tells us. Now the same case when you have three pieces of meat, and two are kosher, and one's treif. So according to the Rush, you can have all three pieces of meat in one shot, bevas achas, even though you know for sure one is treif, because it turns into, the Torah tells us, halacha tells us, rov tells us, it turns everything into a kosher piece of meat. So here as well, the simanim muvakim have changed Leah. She became Rachel that night, even though she was really Leah. So that's the understanding, I think, according to Rambam, how these midos of a person is able to clarify one's chazaka or disprove one's chazaka. But if you look at Rashi there on that Gemara about the midos, and where we don't ein manichin lidabek b'hem, we don't allow them to get married because they're fighting. Rashi writes something very strange. Rashi writes, "Ein manichin osa." We don't let them get married if we see fighting going on. Min hashemayim lidabek b'chavera. Ein manichin osa min hashemayim lidabek b'chavera. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow them to get married. Lechach hetilu min hashemayim miriva beinayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated in such a way that there should be fighting, that people should say there's certain hashkacha going on here. Let's stay away from this family. Not because the midos are simanim muvakim, the din of choshen and mishpat, how to paskin. It's a certain hashkacha, a certain ruach hakodesh, we'll go through a little further, how yichus works. When it comes to the world of yichus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved in some way that he sends us signs, not because simanim muvakim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow it to help happen. He'll prevent it from happening by making fighting. Not because fighting is necessarily a mida of people who don't have yichus. When there's a problem of yichus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the fight. He brings the fight down here to make sure people stay away. So the Maral again in his Chidush HaGadlus on that Gemara, he says, what's the pasuk that explains this? Ki lo yanuach shevet harasha al goral tzadikim. When it comes to tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow a rasha to get involved. He intervenes to make sure this doesn't take place. It's not a din of bezdin. It's not a din of choshesh and mishpat, halachas of regular choshesh and mishpat and chazakas and siman and muvakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes because lo yanuach shevet harasha al goral tzadikim. And that's the same exact pasuk the Gemara quotes in the beginning of Sota, where it talks about ein mezavgin lo adam isha elafi masav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also orchestrates shiduchim. Shaduchim isn't something you go to Bezdin and try to prove. Two people meet, and Kadosh Baruch Hu with Hashkacha brought this, make sure things happen. And what's the pasuk the Gemara quotes? The same pasuk the Maral quotes. Ki lo yanuach shevet harasha al gora hatzadikim. So when it comes to families marrying within each other, it's all Hashkacha pratas. It's this type of Ruach HaKodesh or involvement of Kadosh Baruch Hu that's outside the Bezdin, outside the world of standard Choshe Mishpah. So we see this from the Gemara itself, such a concept, because the Gemara, which I think Rav Yossi is going to be discussing tomorrow, in the Indian of Nitma, which I'm not going to discuss, but just the concept that Kadosh Baruch Hu says the Gemara is Metahar Shvatim. Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, we'll see the Rambam in just a moment, but from the Gemara's language, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Metahar Shvatim in Shifto Shalevi Metahar Tchila. Kadosh Baruch Hu himself gets involved. We don't go to Bezim, we don't say bring your paper, we don't say bring Edus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gets involved in the Indian of Yichas. So how does that mechanism work? HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting involved. So the Sefer Machna is a fascinating chiddush. Anyone see the Sefer Machna when he writes here on the Gemara? He says how it works. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how is he metahir? So I would have thought, because he's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he does what he wants. Says the Sefer Machna that just like the Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim, Lafgia Kedushin, through Hefker based in Hefker, so too he writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Shekein, Sheyesh Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lafkiya Kedushim. He somehow has to connect it to Bezdin's involvement. See, even in this case, where you would think it has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special Din of Yichas, still the Machna felt the need to bring in the Din of Bezdin, even that in the future, Las Lavo, even Bezdin will have, so at least the mechanism of Bezdin will be involved in this Tara process, Las Lavo. But that's not the Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat is like the Rambam. Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, that b'mei melech ha-mashiach yisiyach sukulam al piv b'ruach ha-kodesh shetanuach alof. It's not through a hefger based in hefger. It's through this ruach ha-kodesh as the Rambam says. And he goes on to quote the psukim. Rambam does limit it. He seems to limit the ruach ha-kodesh only to shevet Levi. We'll see the Brisker Rav in just a moment on that. But there's this concept that at least la'asa lavo, ruach ha-kodesh will be the... It doesn't seem also for the Rambam that Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one doing it. It sounds like Mashiach will be the one, Melech Mashiach will be the one whose Miyach is everyone through his Ruach HaKodesh. So although the Rambam doesn't hold this way, L'maisa Bizman Hazeh, the Rambam holds that Siman and Muvakim, we use regular standard mechanisms of Bezdin of Edus, he does admit at least, he concedes that Las Lavo, it will be this idea of Ruach HaKodesh. So I think it's plausible to say that the Rashi might think that even Bizman Hazeh, we could use such a concept of Ruach HaKodesh to figure out Yichas. So the Brisker Rav actually, as so quoted, Ala Torah, it's not in the standard black Brisker Rav. There's a different sefer. I never saw it inside, but they have it in Bar Ilan. That the Brisker Rav writes that there are two types. You look in the Pesukim. When it comes to counting B'nai Yisrael, sometimes the minyan is counted through Moshe when you see Yisrael, it says. And sometimes it says Al Pi Hashem. So it says the Brisker Rav, there are two types of minyanim, the two types of count. Sometimes it's through Ruach HaKodesh, which he says that's what the Rambam is referring to in the future. There's going to be a minion, a count, a yichus, a pi Hashem, and particularly when it comes to Shevet Levi, he says, within the Rambam. And then there's another standard, the way to count is through regular counting of Machzeh Shekel. But he does have this connection. In the Brisker Rav's discussion, he says, there's this concept not only of counting through Ruach HaKodesh, but there's also being meyaches, Klal Yisrael, through Ruach HaKodesh. Now he's talking about Las Lavo, but again, I think we could say within Rashi at least, there's this concept of this Ruach HaKodesh, or at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement, his intervention in terms of making sure the proper families of Yichas are married within each other. So we see now that this Mahalaf within the Rambam, that it's all about Choshe Mishpat, regular standard halachas of Choshe Mishpat in Bizman Hazeh, through the Rambam's understanding of Siman Muvakim, while Rashi thinks it's this involvement, this intervention from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see there's a clear nafkamina now between the Rambam and the Rashi. when it comes to a situation where a person is ma'arir and a certain person's yichus. The Gemara says two people come and ein yira pachas mishnayim. So Rambam writes in Hilchos Isurabiyah that hu shiya idu shnayim, and the Magen Mishnah understands that there's an edus gemura. You have to have two edim. They have to be kasher edim. If you go to Beis Din, a full edus. Rashi there on that Gemara says it's not really edim in the Gemara. It means he says lo shema edin edus gemura el yitzias kol. Just some rumors, that's enough to break this. So the simple understanding is it could be the strength of the cheskas kashrus. How strong it is would indicate how much strength you need to break it. I mean, the Rashi would say cheskas kashrus is very weak, and it's enough for a yitzias kol to break that cheskas kashrus. But in Yisdaiti, I think the understanding would be, according to this approach, is that no, the cheskas kashrus is very strong. But Rashi doesn't need real edus gemura. Rashi's understanding of how yichus works is not a standard choshe mishpat halachas. It's all hashkacha pratis, ruach hakodesh. And therefore, once it's a yitzias hakol, which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement, you don't need to go to Beis Din. You don't need to have real edim. As long as there's some ear that's been created, some rumors that are created, that's sufficient for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send messages to us that one should not get involved in these families. And even though Piskei Teshuva does quote from the Achronim that even within Rashi, you have to come to Beis Din to testify, Rashi doesn't say that. And the Pashup Shadar, you don't have to come to Beis Din. The Beis Din does not get involved at all when it comes to these areas of Yichus, according to Rashi, perhaps. So you see another machlokas between, not the Rashi and Rambam, but at least from the Gemara's in the Rambam, how the Rambam paskins, and it's brought down really Rambam and the Ravid. Machlokas when it comes to the Indian of Shtika, when it comes to that, what the Gemara says, that Shtika is considered symbol, a sign, a simon, that person has yichus. Right? The Gemara talks about a certain fight that took place. And the Gemara says, hey, minayu de kadim vishasik, whoever is silent first, amrei haim yuchas tve. That shtika is a simon that a person has a greater yichus. And Rav says, shtikusei de bavel hainu yichusa. A person who comes from bavel and has a certain midah of being having shtika, that is an indicator that he has yichus. So shtika means greater yichus. But the Gemara in Ksubis says the opposite. The Gemara says that a person calls you a mamzer, a person calls you a halal, and you stay quiet, so then that shtika is a koda, it's admitting that you are a mamzer, you are a halal. So we just said before in the Gemara in Kedushin that if you're quiet, it shows greater yichus. But in the Gemara in Ksubis, when you're quiet, it shows you're not having yichus. You're actually admitting to whatever they're claiming. So there are a number of different answers that are suggested to reconcile this stira in the Gemaras. But let's just go through the Rambam and the Ravid's, their understanding, their approach to these two Gemaras. So firstly, the Rambam doesn't quote the Gemara about shtikusei debavel hainu yichusei. He completely ignores that. And I think that's the Rambam l'shitaso, because that concept of having yichus, of a person being quiet, would seemingly be some level of Ruach HaKodesh, some level of involvement of Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no formal proof that Shtika is a edus of any sort, and therefore he ignores that completely. Because we have a concept, and when it comes to Choshe Mishpat, Shtika is Koda. So if the Rambam is working with the general mechanisms of Beis Din, so once you have Shtika Koda Dami, you can't rely on a weak simon of Shtika as Miuchas Tvei, and therefore the Rambam completely ignores that Gemara, and shtika is never proof that a person has yichus. We hold like the general concept, shtika is koda. That's the halachas of Choshe Mishpat in general. But the Ravid says differently. The Ravid says that he agrees to the Rambam that in the times of Doris Rishonim, when Beis Din was very, very involved in that process of who was miuchas, who wasn't, so then we go shtika koda, because that's when we were relying on Beis Din, on all the halachas of Beis Din. But he says nowadays, achshav, so now Beis Din doesn't get involved in these inyanim. That means the halachas of yichus is outside the realm of Beis Din. Says achshav hashosik al hamariva harehu mishubach. So the Ravid says nowadays, where Beis Din isn't involved, we can rely on shtika to prove a person has yichus. So again, the Rambam l'shitasa, the Rambam doesn't hold to this concept of relying on any hashkacha pratis and on ruach hakodesh, at least bizman hazeh. And therefore, shtika koda trumps the concept of shtika's mimyuchas. While the Ravid would be in the same camp as Rashi, that we do rely on certain Ruach HaKodesh, Hashkacha Pratis that takes place. And therefore, we can rely on Miyuchas Tver. Even though normally Shtika is Kodah Adami, we can ignore that because the concept of Shtika is a sign from Shemayim that this this family, this person, has Yichas. So along these lines, the Chassam Sofer asks the question, is Chuvos, based on the Parsha at the end of Emor, with the Megadif, and the Ben Mitzri, who is Megayer, and he ended up being Megadif, and he wanted to live in the Chalik of Dan, around the Mishkan. So the Pesuk ended up saying that he left Bezdin, Moshe says, you're a Ben Mitzri, you're not really a Ger, it doesn't make any sense, you shouldn't be living in Chalik of Dan, and he walked out of Bezdin, he was Megadif, and the whole events took place at the end of Parshas Emor. So Chassam Sofer asks the question, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that he was a Ben Mitzri? Who told him? Where was the proof? Where was the Eidus? Where was the Shtar Yichus? So Chassam Sofer answers, he's asked the question further, Lo b'shamayim hi. You can't rely on Ruach HaKodesh. So Moshe had Ruach HaKodesh, certainly, the highest level, he had Nevuah, but you can't rely on that when it comes to Dinei Choshen Mishpat. How is he allowed to do this? So the Chassam Sofer writes, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was different. His whole, you can't bring rise from what Moshe Rabbeinu, how he functioned. Outside of Moshe Rabbeinu, you can use Ruach HaKodesh, Lo b'shamayim hi. So I saw in Chavetz Eltz HaSharon, Reb Mordechai Karlbach, he says, no. When it comes to the Inyanim, the world of Yichus, this is Dafka, the area where you're allowed to use Ruach HaKodesh. Everywhere else, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't rely on Ruach HaKodesh to pass Kinshilas. There's a regular machlokas when it came to who stole what, who owed who money. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what was going on, perhaps. He knew who was right, who was wrong, but he couldn't rely on that. He couldn't rely on Ruach HaKodesh. But Dafka, in the world of Yichus, it's suggested, when it comes to him being a Ben Mitzri, that's the only area where you can rely on Ruach HaKodesh, based on this Mahalach of the Briskerov and the Rambam in Lasalavo and of Rashi. So there's a fascinating, another Chassam Sofer in Al Torah, next week's Parsha, where he explained that the whole debate between the brothers and Yosef Tzadik was really about the Yichus. So listen to this fascinating dialogue, how he explains what's going on, the fight between Yosef and the brothers. He says that, based on the Ramban, that Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef more than the others because he was a Talmud Chacham, and they didn't agree to that. And the Mishnah in the end of Horios tells us that a person who's Miyuchas Mechavero, the Mishnah at the end is talking about who comes before who. If you have to save a life before someone else, there's a whole Kadima. So a person that's greater Yichas, a Kohen, comes before Levi. Levi comes before Yisrael. But a person's a mamzer Talmud Chacham, so then he comes before anyone else. So listen to this conversation. He writes, Yaakov thought that Yosef was a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he was a Talmud Chacham, goes before any of their brothers, who he didn't feel were Talmud Chacham. But in the eyes of the brothers, they felt that Yosef wasn't a Talmud Chacham any more than they were. So they felt they were on the same playing field. They're both equal Talmud Chachamim. So then he says, the brothers claim that Yosef didn't have good yichas. That's why he shouldn't come first, because he came from the product of two sisters, from this week's Parsha. The brothers were born from Leah. That was a kosher marriage. But Yaakov married a second sister, and therefore Yosef was a product of that, and therefore he had a din of a mamzer, and he didn't have yichas. So since they were equally Talmidei Chachamim, Yosef's yichas was dropped, because he came from the sister, and therefore they should come before Yosef Tzadik. So then the Chassam Sofer adds, Then Yosef Tzadik tells him the dream. He says, you know why I have more yichas than you? Because he explains that since we're B'nai Noach, and B'nai Noach can marry two sisters, so I have proof that I have more yichas. How does Yosef have proof I have more yichas? I had a dream that I'm a king. And the lacha is that Ein ma'amid melech el mimuvchar shebe'achicha. You have to have yichas to be a king. So the fact that I had a dream, and that I was told I was king in a dream, must be I have yichas. So they said back to him, this is the great line, Al-Dvar, they said, Kim yuchasa de bavel shtikusa. Yichas of bavel is being quiet. Had you stayed silent, so then fine. But now that you're busy talking about your dreams, that tells us you don't have yichas, because we always look for shtika, for the sign of yichas. So the response back might be that if you're looking in the world of yichas, that shtika is considered yichas. So at least my understanding was that was in the camp of the Ravid, the camp of Rashi, that you rely on Ruach HaKodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes. You don't get involved in things. Shtika is a sign that you're miyuchas tvei. So when you're relying on dreams, Yosef is relying on his chalom, that is the same world of Ruach HaKodesh. So Yosef says, it's not me being, I'm not talking about anything. I'm sharing the dream. It's not a stira, the dream. It's not a stira to my shtika. Because the whole premise of shtika is in need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ruach HaKodesh. So sharing a dream is another avenue of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sharing the Ruach HaKodesh about the yichus that I have. So that's, I thought, a very nice Chassam Sofer to bridge these together. So just one final piece here in terms of, I guess, the Machshava. It connects very much this machlokus about whether or not shtika is miuchas tvei or shtika is kodah dami. It connects to this week's parsha as well of Rachel and Leah and the sisters and the nature of each of them. The Medrash points out, and Gemara and Megillah as well discusses this in Daf Yud Gimel, that the Medrash says that Leah was tafas the midah of hodah, of admitting, shtika kodah, she spoke. And that's why she named Yehuda Yehuda, the Tomer HaPam Odeh Hashem, she was Moda, and she passed that midah of Hoda on to Yehuda, who was also Tzad Kamimeni. He admitted what took place with Tamar. Rachel, on the other hand, she was the midah of Shtika, and as we know that she passed on the midah, she passed on the Simanim in a quiet way to Leah. And she passed it on to Binyamin. The Medrash says how Binyamin knew what took place with Yosef when he was sold down to Mitzrayim. We spoke about this last year. And the Maral's Yartite, I think, this Gemara Megillah. So Binyamin knew what took place with Yosef and he was sold down. But still, the Medrash says, Yada b'mechirasa she Yosef einu magi, but he wouldn't tell Yaakov what happened. And then Binyamin passed it on to Shaul. That's dvar hamlucha lo higilo. He didn't share the mlucha. And that was passed on to Esther, a Nestor Magedis Maladav Esima, she wouldn't say where she came from. And that's what Gemara says, the Indian of Tznius, the Indian of Shtika, is something that comes from Rachel, which leads to eventually the Geula. So this idea of Rachel being Shtika and Leah being Kodah Adami is a machlokus between the Rambam and the Ravid, and really the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam that Shtika is Kodah Adami. If a person's quiet, when someone calls him a name, he admits to it. His shtika is as if he said something, like lashon of the idea of Leah, because Leah is the bechin of Eretz Yisrael. She was buried Maras Machpelah. She was buried b'fnim, and Shulchan Aruch is bechin of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, all that together, Leah shtika kodah dami. That's how the Shulchan Aruch passes that shtika is kodah dami. The Ramah, who's bechin of Chutz La'aretz, is in the camp of Rachel, who's bechin of Chutz La'aretz, that she was buried outside Maras Machpelah. And therefore, that Lashon of Shtika is really a symbol of Miuchas Tvei. If a person is Tanua, a person has Shtika, that means you come from Rachel, Esther, Shaul, Binyamin, and Rachel. That's a Miuchas Tvei. That's how the Ramah paskins. He brings the Rabbi down Lalacha, that Shtika is Miuchas Tvei. So this idea, the Ramchal explains, so when Rachel, by nature, she was Tanua, that was her Mida. And Leah, by nature, she was a little bit more Bichitzoni. She was more Hoda. And the Sfarim talk about how the Tikkun has to be the opposite in order to bridge the gap, the Pnimi, the Chitzoni, and back and forth. So while Rachel was someone who's Pnimi, she was very Tzanua, she had to fix on the outside her Maisim Tovim and do things actively on the outside. That's why she was on the outside in Maras Machpelah. She had to do things more Chitzoni. And Leah, who by nature was someone who's Hoda, who was on the outside, had to work on her Pnimi. So the Ramchal explained that's what took place when Rachel gave the simanim over to Leah. Rachel, who by nature was very tanua, when she gave the simanim over and she did a maisa, she did this chesed of doing something outwardly, that was able to bridge the gap between Rachel and Leah, the pnimi and the chitoni, and that what really brings the geula. So mirat Hashem, we should be zocha in our own selves to work on the pnimi and the chitoni and bridge the gap between these two ideas.